Here we go.
Oh my god. This is so confusing.
Listen, we can do a whole episode on like UI design and like the ease to what's the term? It's like job to accomplish or whatever. Like,
oh yeah, jobs man, to oh, be man. Done.
That jobs to be done. I love
my favorite
love
design framework.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've had two cocktails, so I am ready to chat.
Amazing.
Yeah. It was like okay. Two stiff cocktails too, like not like some like sissy cocktails, like some like this is alcohol.
Yeah, it's getting real. It's real talk.
And by sissy, I don't mean to gender a term to make it weaker. I'm just using the most like American term, which I guess is bad. And I will call myself out on it. And now everything is okay because I did that. Moving on.
So what have you been up to?
Just got back from LA. And honestly, I really dig the LA scene. Not because like I think the tech there is any better, but I think LA has like a creator's vibe in general. I think like whether or not they're making like dumb Instagram content or like, you know, VR, I think it's just interesting to be in an area where like the main idea is to create something to put out, right? Whereas I think New York and San Francisco still have this kind of hive mind mentality of like going into an office or like going into a space, which is like just very, it's a very different feeling.
Yeah. I notice every time I go to LA is like if I go into a coffee shop, like everyone's on Adobe or Final Cut, like cutting some kind of video or super inspiring. And when you go to like a SF coffee shop, everyone's coding.
Yeah, which is also good, right? Like they're creating something. I just also feel that in general they're not creating from some like deep personal belief that like this should exist out in the world. They're like probably building for someone else or building like because they're just like part of a larger structure and they just happen to be able to work out of a coffee shop because they want to.
Yeah, that's true. But something that I find really interesting about LA is that like what you said about the dumb content, like they're extremely intentional about it. Like maybe sometimes they're not, but a lot of times they got a strategy behind that. And that not that open book as like, you know, in tech where everyone's like sharing their process. I almost wish there are more playbook on like how do you get Instagram famous and make money off, you know, sending, I don't know, nudes. I don't know, but
yeah. It was funny. While I was in LA, I met the guy. He has an Instagram account, like, I think it's called Kirby Jenner, where he pretends to be Kendall Jenner's brother, and he just photoshops himself in with the Kardashians, and essentially, like, the Jenners and, like, the Kardashians have just, like, accepted him as, like, this, like, funny account, and he has over 1 million followers, and that's just, like, who this guy is, which is, like, because I think about identity a lot, I just think that's so funny. And it's just kind of like an additive of like, this is the most normal guy who just thought of this funny idea that people have really responded to. I find that so fascinating. And that shit only happens in LA, in my opinion.
You think so?
I think at least at that level, right? So, I mean, not to be this guy, but Paul Graham has this essay where he talks about the vibes of certain cities. And he talks about how Boston is about academia, New York is about money, San Francisco is about power, DC is about who you know, LA is about fame, Paris is about like artistic sensibility. And I mean, I think it just like fits perfectly into that thesis of like LA is about fame. He figured out what would make him famous, and now he's like a D-list celebrity because of this Instagram account. So I mean, that's kind of how I've processed it.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool. And what do you think of the, speaking of Instagram, what do you think of its latest close friend feature? And there are people who monetize like by just charging people to see their close friend content apparently, which I think is like fascinating.
It's interesting because essentially this was Instagram's first time acknowledging the fact that like Finstas exist, mm-hmm. right? Like they called it like whatever. I forget like the actual name, but it's really about like that inner circle, which Snapchat has like kept as part of their narrative, which I think is going to be interesting to see play out. Like I haven't done it yet. I haven't like made a close friend circle for Insta stories, but at the same time, I think I'm still weary of like Facebook and how they like use content uploaded and like data and blah 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 blah. Like, am I really gonna post like me raving even if it's for like my Insta story for close friends, or am I gonna keep that on Snapchat? I think that is still something that needs to get like worked out. I just don't know if the behavior set within Instagram is there for like a close friend, John Ski. I also think it's gonna be interesting to see like the difference between like me picking 20 close friends on Instagram, even though I have like 900 something followers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that is huge compared to like I have, let's say 100 something friends on Snapchat. So to me, it's just like, oh, whatever. I'll just like to pick close friends on Snapchat where I have like, let's say 30 close friends out of 150 versus 30 close friends out of 900 plus, like that's going to be, that's just like a different game.
Yeah, I think anyway, yeah, it's almost my I think I see it more like almost like a premium content channel. It's like where you're not selecting your close friends, but you're selecting the second tier or maybe the first tier because followers become second tier. And then you're selecting who you want to show content.
I feel like it bifurcates like your own identity on Instagram though, right?
Yes.
Like now you have mm-hmm. like okay, this is for all of my followers. It's like shut the hell up, Jenny. Like you have 500 followers on Instagram. You're not a like celebrity account versus like I don't know, something like Twitter where everything is like fake and so everything is just like for like the public masses and you are like in your head this like thought leader. And then you have I like to write about how friends and peers are viewed per like social account, and I feel like Instagram actually trying to make a distinction between close friends and like your average follower could actually backfire in this really weird way of like putting this new idea in people's head where like your general follower is not actually your friend. This is like, oh no, then what are they? So yeah. I don't know. I have to think about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Those are my like initial reactions.
No, but I think it's actually very, I think, good in a way because like friends in real life, I think, are not as, I guess, fluid as like your fan base on like Instagram, for example. And I think it's a great way.
It's interesting that you just call them your fan base on Instagram. That's so bad. That's not good.
I know, but I think that's what Instagram was designed for, is to give you this sense of self-importance and like identity based on what you want to project to the world. And it's a very idea of curation. And it's like a great way for people who don't in the future, especially when, you know, there will be less office jobs and more creative jobs, and the way to like for individuals to more easily engage with their respective community and be their like local celebrity without having
micro influencer.
Exactly. Micro influencer. There you go. And I think it's a great platform to feel this like meaning and purpose in this new time where, I don't know, like a lot of very important jobs are taken. And
do you think that the general person derives influence and importance based on the number of eyeballs that they have on them?
I think not. I'm not sure. I think our generation less so, but I feel like the generation after us, yes.
My friend, his name's Pari. He's an engineer at HQ. He said something really interesting. And I was essentially talking to him. I was like, I don't feel like I will ever make content on TikTok. And maybe I'd said this like the last time we recorded one of our conversations. And then he said something along the lines of like, that's because like our generation wants to be known as artists or like at minimum artistic with what we produce. Whereas the generation below us and like the TikTok generation really just cares about performance and being famous. Like there is no concept of selling out to those kids. You're either famous and you fucking did it, or you're not famous and you're lame and you better work on being famous and you better work on getting eyeballs on you.
Yeah.
And so I think it just plays really well into that entire scheme.
No, yeah.
Shout out to Pari at HQ Trivia.
We should get him on the show.
Oh yeah, we'll get him. We'll get him.
Amazing. Yeah. So I was like reading this report the other day. It was like by WGSN. It basically, they're like more like analyzing like fashion trends and like runway shows. Gotcha. And whatever. But yeah, but they have this Gen Z report, and then it's really interesting to see it because it has some like really disturbing data. And one of them is like the Chinese teenagers, apparently like 50% of them, like their dream job is to become like those live streamers and like influencers.
Oh, fascinating.
And I was like, what? Like that was not, I like left China when I was 13, and that was not the China that I grew up in. And I feel like yeah, it's crazy how fast like things change right now.
There's this really good quote, I forget like who the founding father was, but it was essentially talking about like, I need to study war and X so that my son can study engineering, so that his son can study like, you know, finances, so that his son can study arts. And I need to find the quote again, so that, because it's really just talking about like the progression of like society and what societies value economically. Mm-hmm. Which should ideally give us all like a better quality of life. And so it's like, if everyone's an artist and like that can be economically rewarded, that's like a great society, right? Like everyone can just like emotionally represent what they're feeling and like blah 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 blah. And now I feel like if we were to extend that, it's like, so that I can study art so that my son can like learn how to be a really great like Twitch streamer, like I think extending that out would be a super fascinating extension of like what we value, or at least what is just like jobs that are self-actualized and beneficial towards like society. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think like in a world where being a Twitch streamer is just like, oh yeah, you know, that's a solid career, son. Like, yeah, definitely go to school to be a Twitch streamer.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a fascinating just like development.
No, yeah, like I've been meditating on the exact same concept like for the past week after reading. Have you heard of Andrew Cortina, like the founder of Venmo?
No.
Oh my god, I will send you that piece.
There's like, aren't there like four Venmo founders? I feel like I know like one or two of them.
Oh yeah, maybe there are like 20, I don't know. But he's one of them. yeah. All right,
keep going.
Yeah, he wrote this piece on like, what is the, basically it's like about like the future of work, but I think he raised this very interesting concept on like, we're leaving this society of scarcity, which is all about competition, mm-hmm. to this, this is like the first time in history that we're entering an era of abundance. And that is when the whole value of, you know, work hard and work ethic has traditionally really been the virtual, and one's like own dignity. It's basically a lot of it is based on work. And like in Japan, like people work to death. And like when I grew up, like my parents have always asked me to work like to my ass off. So like,
yeah,
in like, as you said, like in the future, when like you don't really have to work hard to have a good life, like what would that, how would that change like philosophically in a way?
I mean,
that,
like in reality, like on that concept of like working hard to have a good life, when we look at any friend that works at Facebook or Google, in reality, compared to like an early stage startup, they are not working hard. Like when I visit my friends for breakfast at Facebook, they're not working hard. Like, it's 11 and people are playing mini golf. Like, give me a fucking break, right? Yet, if they're an engineer, they're easily taking home, like, 150 to 250K salary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, you're not working hard and you have, by far, a top-tier American life. And you're going between two amazing cities for work. And then, like, you have unlimited vacation, which, like, is a, like, is an economic benefit to the country, but, like, I mean, to the company, excuse me, because, like, when, like, essentially when you have unlimited vacation days, companies don't have to pay out, let's say, if you have, like, stored vacations after you leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that was actually, like, kind of, like, a great economic trick. The same way, like, providing food at work is a great economic trick because you, like, get more productivity, blah, 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 blah. Tech companies are low-key, you know, gaming the whole thing. But what I'm saying is, like, you don't have to work hard. You have a great life. And, like, you essentially can go to Facebook at, like, 28 and retire and just, like, rest and bet.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking rest and bet.
Honestly.
And maybe, like,
yeah.
Facebook is too big to fail at this point. So then you're really chilling, right?
Yeah. I was at Facebook, and yeah, I was at Facebook this summer, and I was literally looking at one of
you and Mariano on that design flow.
On that design flow, and then yeah, he was actually in the same like group as Mariano, so we were in this critique section where I presented my design, and then one of the other designers said that like he was like he's been at Facebook for like 10 years or something, so he's really from the very beginning. I respect him, but basically when he was looking at my design, he was just like, Tina, I really like your proposal here. I would love to see a little bit more negative space, a little bit more air in your... And I was like, wow, that is the life that I want to live. Just sit there and like all day and talk about like negative space. And
yeah,
no, yeah. But I was like, probably not going back when I'm young, but maybe in the future, a very good alternative in terms of just chilling.
Here's the thing. When you have that much cash on hand and you can continually acquire yourself into relevancy.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be very interesting to see what Facebook looks like in like 5 years, not even 10 years, 5 years.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, what would I think the most fascinating thing to happen to Facebook would be if like, the U.S. government realizes that the Facebook acquisition of Instagram was, like, a really big, like, misstep on just, like, monopolies. They force Facebook to split up, and somehow Instagram gets carved away from Facebook, and then Mark leaves Facebook to be CEO of Instagram because he realizes, like, Instagram is what matters and not Facebook. To me, that is just, like, ooh, social network to crime storyline. Like, we open to see Mark in front of Congress just getting like the dumbest questions and him blinking like just like a fucking robot, and then it ends with him like taking over Instagram and like taking like Oculus with him. Like, it's just Instagram and Oculus, and Facebook is like burning. And yeah
no,
that's ideal.
that is, but wow, I never thought about it that way, but it's like a very vivid imagery in my head, and I can literally see that happening.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be pretty fuego. So I got super distracted by this scene on the street. Everything's always happening in New York.
What's happening?
I honestly have no idea. I just like heard a baby like really crying, and I got worried.
Aw. Yeah. Wait, I saw one of your tweet, which I thought was super interesting, and I want to talk about that. It was about like,
oh no.
Yes, it's about networking on Twitter. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay, all right, here we go. I'm going to try to keep this as like civil as possible. But essentially, there was a tweet that I saw, and I'm not going to say who it was, because like, I don't follow them, they don't follow me, even though they like a lot of my tweets and are clearly trying to get my attention. And they, to like keep it non-gendered, tweeted something along the lines of like, what's a good first meeting place that's not coffee? Like, and I was just like, I don't know, my guy, anything that's not a coffee shop. But it was clearly just engagement bait, just to like get people to like talk on it, right? And then like he kept trying to like poke at like high profile VCs and like startup people. And I was just like, oh my God, dude, like, be like, or like produce something, be original, like don't give me this engagement bait bullshit just so that you can talk to like Keith Rebois about like meeting at like the SF MoMA or some shit. Like, if you want to meet at the MoMA, meet at the MoMA. If you want to meet at a coffee shop, like go to Blue Bottle and call it a fucking day. And it's just like, stop it, like stop this utter bullshit. I think if there's, I really do not classify myself as a hater or someone that even like gives two shits about what other people do. Cause like in a recent conversation with my girlfriend, like we were talking about like not holding other people to the standards that you hold yourself, because like it's just not fair nor healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I cannot stand is inauthenticity.
Yeah.
However, if this is this person's authentic self, then it's deeply unattractive, which is just like, to me, then it's just like fair grounds to like rip on. So that's like my angry rant for this episode. But it's just like trash tweet, trash engagement bait, trash like everything. Not here for it, and can't stand it. And if you're listening to this podcast right now and you're like, oh, you're talking about so-and-so, like, yeah, I'm talking about so-and-so. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm happy, you know, I'm talking about them. And like, if you're also listening to this, know that I'm talking about your trash tweet, bro or girl. So now you don't know who it is, but still, I'm talking about your tweet.
Oh God.
Trash tweet.
What if a young person that just entered tech asks you, like, I don't know anyone in tech. I'm just here. I'm scared. What would you tell them?
Okay. Very, very fair question. If you are a young person coming into the tech game, you have no idea what's going on, and you want to meet people, and you genuinely want to meet people, and you don't know what to do, here are, like, my 2 to, like, 3 things I would say to do. One, whatever you're thinking about, genuinely write about it. Don't write about with an agenda. Like, just write about it.
I agreed.
Write about it. Publish it on Medium. Like, publish it on Twitter. Like, do whatever you want. Okay, that's the first thing. 2, be on Twitter, because there's some great tech people on Twitter. And the way you like do Twitter, you tweet ideas, you comment on other people's idea. But like, also, I'm going to hope that your entire life isn't technology. So tweet about music, tweet about art, tweet about like the TV shows you're watching, the movies you're watching, like be a multidimensional person. That's far more attractive, and it's just like far more honest. Then the last thing, let's say there is someone you really respect, really like, let's say you're really into like Hunter Walk, right? Hunter Walk is like a great person, works at Homebrew, has like a very interesting like historical like career life. If you're really into Hunter Walk, like, know, like, what you actually like about Hunter Walk. Don't just, like, be, like, obsessed with, like, this delusion of prestige. It's like, oh, like, he does Homebrew. Like, who cares? Like, Homebrew has trash investments. Like, every other fund has trash investments, right? And I'll, like, say that to Hunter. Like, I'll tell Hunter at coffee next week, you have some trash investments, bro. Like, this is why I think this way. And then, so, like, if you want to, like, connect with someone like that, know why you like them. Send them an email and outline, like, I read this essay. This is what I like about it. This is what I don't like about it. Here are my thoughts. Like, I would love to have coffee with you when I'm in SF, or like the next time you're in New York. And this is like what I'm working on. And just like be genuine. And that's either mm-hmm. going to end up in like, yes, I want to get coffee. No, I don't want to get coffee. If they don't want to get coffee, maybe it's for like the best, right? Like, no one has to be your friend. No, everyone shouldn't be your friend. And just like strip away that sense of like everyone's friendly in tech. Everyone's not friendly. Most tech people kind of suck, honestly. Like, most tech people kind of suck. Most tech people aren't that smart to you, right? Like, everyone has different like gauges of what smart is. Everyone has different gauges of what cool is. Most people in SF wear Allbirds. Therefore, I write them off, right? So,
if you guys haven't heard,
there's that.
Yeah, if you guys haven't heard Reggie's rant on Allbirds, please go to episode 1.
If you haven't heard my rant on Allbirds, let me just give you this quick summation. Allbirds is trash, and they shouldn't be funded, and they're a disgusting sneaker. The end.
What kind of sneakers would you fund right now?
What kind of sneakers would I fund? I wouldn't fund sneakers with venture dollars because it doesn't make sense.
That's true.
But I would angel invest in fashion summits.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Speaking of writing, I actually have been like thinking about like, I want to hear your thoughts on this. So, like, I've been thinking, like, exploring this idea of, like, creating for creating sake, which I, like, personally moved on from, because that was kind of my initial belief, but soon I realized it's, like, really self-indulgent, although I'm a huge fan of, like, craftsmanship.
Yeah.
And then I realized that, okay, I'm actually writing about this right now, which is creating to be useful, but this utility doesn't have to be something that's like a, you know, listicle form. It's like, sure. Oh, 5 things you want to do to become a designer. Like, I don't know. I feel like you just cannot prescribe methods to people. And I think that is actually extremely toxic when you write in such a, like, in a very authoritative way. It's like, this is the answer. This is the textbook. You got to read this. I think the best writings that have been helpful are just perspectives. And I feel like I'm just trying to see how we can, or I can, like, improve my writing in a way to provide honest, like, perspectives. And I'm, like, exploring this idea right now. And then I feel like in the future, there should be more media without such strong, I don't know, but I think authority. And I think we can prevent that. From happening. I think that's something that if I were to, like, tell a young tech person, like, what to do, like, how to navigate a space, is to not trust most of the things that you read on the internet. But how do you actually tell them what to read and, like, what to consume? And I feel like there's a lot of opportunity to explore that space. Like, I feel like I only begin to, like, consume really quality content very recently after I get a sense of what's bullshit by actually doing it. But I just wish that I could have saved so much time on, like, on bullshit.
Well, I'm curious, like, when you say, like, you've been consuming more quality content, like, why do you think it's more quality? Because in my opinion, I think the path is, like, pretty universal, right? Essentially, when you come into, like, the world of content within, like, tech and design and, like, startups and VC and shit, like, most people consume what is generally read amongst, like, a lot of people, right? Which are, like, general platitudes and not that interesting or, like, smart. It's just, like, weak and universal. And that's, like, fine because everyone needs an introduction. But then what ends up happening is that, like, you actually start forming your own opinion, and then you reinforce your own opinion with, like, like-minded, strong writers, right? Like, or on the other side, you actually just start getting more academic, and so you just kind of, like, dig into, like, beefier books / like essays that are just, like, harder to read, but, like, meatier and, like, more information packed, and then you, like, form your own opinions off of, like, that information you consume. So, like, what do you mean by you say, like, oh, like, my reading quality is just, like, higher?
Oh yeah, that's a very good question. So I'm gonna unpack that a little bit. So actually what that means is,
unpack it, girl.
Yeah. What that means is just to get, like, very picky about what you're consuming. It's almost like eating. I was telling my friend the other day, it's that I think we're at a time where we need to start, like, consuming healthy information just like we eat healthy food. Like, we need to cut out all the McDonald's, all the junk, like, cut the junk out in terms of information, just like we cut the junk out from our diet. So and it's, like, really hard to know what's good or what's not. It's just the same with food. Like, we tend to go with what sounds more attractive. It's like 10 things to make you, like, a designer in 10 days. Like,
that's like shoving a Snickers in your face.
Exactly. Of course, like, people are gonna prefer those. And it's the same with me. Like, I think a lot of insecurities that I had, like, in the very beginning of my career was because I really faked it till I make it. Like, it's because of those listicles and all those things that, like, have helped me kind of get my feet and, like, get the door, basically getting the door of design, which I think maybe it's helpful. But at the same time, now I think I'm spending a lot of time, like, rethinking everything that I've been taught and taking a step back and be like, okay, so what I've been doing, which is reading, I've been reading my entire life. And I think going back to books and going back to kind of literature and things that really are quality and have outlasted its time, that are, yeah, those are the good things. And I feel like, why can't I have the same standard as choosing books and choosing to consume stuff on the internet? And I think that has changed, like, really fundamentally how I think about product. Like, in the past, I think about product in terms of, like, oh, like, Intercom just published. Intercom is amazing, though, but they have a lot of, like, methods, right? And I will read those things and be like, okay, now there's a new way to think about product. There's this jobs to be done framework. There's this framework. And then in the end, creating product is actually more like creating a film or creating, you know, novels. And I start to get more inspirations actually reading books about plot writing. It's actually a great way to understand humans. It's like surprising. But I was reading this like plot reading book and I was like, a lot of synergies going on because like a lot of it is understanding the character you're creating, which is a lot more powerful than creating like a persona, for example. Because persona is just like putting on these random data about this person without really understanding the things that really drive their motivation. And those are the things that are really personal and have been really captured by more so literature and fiction and like all these things than, I don't know, you know, like just random facts about them. So
Nice. I think that's like actually a really good place to end, just to like make this one a really tight 30 minutes. Yeah. I think in the next episode we should bring on my friend who's older, like in his 30s, Wilson, because I think my friend Wilson actually has like a lot of great, a little bit older guy advice on like how to just sift like quality from bullshit, how to like understand what to read, what not to read, and how to just like extract value from those things. I think that might be a really good combo to have.
Wow, yeah, I would love to hear him and have him on the show.
Yeah, wow, what a tight 30 minutes. This makes me very happy.
I know, I feel like everything we said has been pretty quality.
Good. It's a good stopping, just like, and that's how we feel today. And period.
Yeah, tight. With crying babies on the street.
With crying babies on the street. Yo, love you, girl. Thanks love for listening, too. Everyone.
Yeah, love you all. Stay tuned for the next one coming soon.
Tight. Bye.
Bye.